80, I want to say, I am old now, I think I should start working half day. I don't know if that's just youthful optimism or profitable planning, but that's the idea for now. But on a lot more serious note, recently I have started thinking quite a lot about how I want my life to end. I asked myself this question and I said, on the day that I die, what do I want my life to look like? And I said to myself simply this, I want to finish well. And when I came down to it, I sat down with a piece of paper and I wrote over a couple of months, I came to four things. I said, at the very most basic level, on the day that I die, I want these four things to be true of me. Number one, I want to be in favor with God. Number two, I want to be in favor with my wife. Number three, I want to be in favor with my children. And number four, I want to be in favor with God's people. And then I realized that if I reach the age of 80, which I may not even do, I cannot start to develop a relationship with God to be in His favor 3 months before I plan to die. I realized that if I want to end my life in favor with my wife, I can't start pursuing her heart at the age of 74. I realized that if I want to be in favor with my children, I cannot start spending time with them when they are in their late 40s. And I realized that if I want to be in favor with God's people, I can't put off being compassionate and kind till one day when I'm a little bit more mature. I realized that if I want to finish well, I need to plan on finishing well. And I need to execute that plan today. Not as a New Year's resolution, but as a life objective. Not turning over a new leaf, but starting a brand new life. If you are normal to any extent, you think about life often. And you think about the end of your life equally as often. And one of the things that we do, one of the things that we have in common is when we think of our lives, we all want to finish well. Nobody here plans on finishing their lives badly. Nobody here plans on divorcing their spouse the day that they get married. Nobody here has their children and plans on their children not visiting them at all when they are in the old age home. Nobody here plans on dying an alcoholic. Nobody plans on losing everything through gambling. Nobody plans on dying in a motor vehicle accident because you were a drunk driver. Nobody plans on dying from smoke-induced lung cancer. Nobody plans on walking away from God. Nobody plans on dropping out of school and living in their mom's house at the age of 35. Nobody plans on being fired from their jobs in utter disgrace. Yet, all the time, people walk away from God. Yet, people divorce their spouses. Yet, people don't have a relationship with their kids. Yet, people die in drunk driver accidents all the time. Despite the fact that nobody wants it, so many people end their lives having made shipwreck of their lives. Why? Because at the very beginning, they did not plan on finishing well. If you want your life to finish well, you have to plan on finishing well. And you have to execute that plan today. Not as a New Year's resolution, but as a life objective. Not as simply turning over a new leaf, but starting a brand new life. Maybe you're asking yourself the question, how then do we plan on finishing well? How does this planning on finishing well work? What are the things that I should look out for? What are the things that I should do? Maybe you and I both can learn from one of the world's greatest finishers this morning. One of the greatest finishers that ever walked the planet Earth, perhaps one of God's most effective disciples ever, and perhaps even the greatest missionary aside from Jesus Christ himself. Perhaps you and I can learn from the life of a man named Paul, who wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament of your Bible. If you page with me to Acts chapter 20, verse 24, we will see how he planned on finishing well. So if you open your Bible and you look at the New Testament, you find Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those are the biographies of Jesus. The fancy word, synoptic gospels. They tell the story of Jesus, each one to a different audience. Then the book of John talks about the life of Jesus, but from a different perspective, looking back at it and saying that we want to write this gospel to show that Jesus is truly the Son of God and that he came to save humanity. Now, Acts is a part two of the book of Luke. So if you look at your Bible, you must consider Luke and Acts as a part A and a part B. Luke tells about the story of Jesus, and then Acts tells the story of Jesus' first disciples. Most prominently in this book is the character of Paul. He's not the main character of this book. If you look at it theologically, the main character of the book of Acts is the Holy Spirit, but a large chunk of the book traces his story. Now, during his time that he served Christ, he had three major missionary journeys spanning over about 11 years, and during those 11 years, he traveled something about 8,000 miles or so from place to place, preaching the gospel, establishing churches, handing over the churches, going to a new vicinity. Now he is done with his three missionary journeys, but he is not done himself. He still has another objective, a new objective. He is compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem, and he knows that when he leaves, he's never coming back again. He knows that when he leaves his home church of Ephesus, he greets those people a final goodbye as a final goodbye. He says it like this. He says, I know that imprisonment and hardship is waiting for me there. But he wants to make even his last months and years on earth count. So this is what he says to them about finishing his course, finishing his race. This is what he says about him planning to finish well. He says it like this. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. This is how he summarizes his objective in the last part of his life. Now, the plan that Paul develops for the rest of his life rests on two purposes that you and I share with Paul himself. This purpose, at the very most basic level, is this. Number one, moving away from my own agenda, and two, moving onto God's agenda. If I want to finish my life well, says Paul, I need to excel at moving away from my agenda, and I need to excel at moving onto God's agenda. Watch how this unfolds in Paul's life, and then let us consider how it will unfold in your life as well. The first objective that he has is, I exist to move away from my agenda. Now, another way that you can say this is simply in a sentence, to say, I exist to reveal the greatness of God by becoming less myself. Listen, this is how Paul says it. But I do not account my life of any value or precious to myself. I look at my life and I say that this is not the thing that matters most. In fact, that's one of the ways in which the Message paraphrase puts it. It says, this is not the most important thing. My life doesn't matter most of all. And Paul displays this kind of thinking throughout his life. You see how in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 he says, I have forfeited my right to life altogether. It is now in God's hands. He says also in Galatians chapter 5 verse 24, I have crucified myself to the worldly things. In Philippians chapter 3 he says, I counted everything loss that would distract me from pursuing God with a wholehearted passion. Says later on in Galatians chapter 6 verse 14 that if I boast in anything, if I am proud of anything, it is only in the cross of Jesus Christ. Then he finishes it off by saying that I discipline my body. I keep myself in check so that while I preach to others that I might not be disqualified myself. First objective is moving away from his own agenda. What does moving away from your own agenda look like to us? What does it mean? What plans could we make to be a revealer of God's greatness by us becoming less and less? Here is a thought. It is dead simple. It is summarized in one sentence. If you want to finish well, the first thing you have to wrap your mind around and the first thing that you need to make plans according to is this. It is not about me. I don't live for me. I don't go to work for me. I do not raise my family for me. I do not pursue an increase. I do not pursue a promotion. I do not pursue a title for me and my sake. I don't hang around with the cool kids at school for me. I don't try to excel in sport for me. I don't try to be a cum laude student for me. It is not about me. And that involves a lot of planning. That involves a lot of self-sacrificing. That involves a lot of work in prayer on your knees to get to grips with this fact. It is not about me. You know, sometimes we can put this fact or this idea that it is all about us in very fancy ways. We can do it through false humility. And there is nothing beautiful about false humility. There is nothing beautiful about pride that is poorly wrapped in piety. When it comes down to it, you've got to understand it is not about you. Some people have this idea and have this way of making it all about them by expressing what they cannot possibly do. You know what? I can never achieve such and such which God has called me to because of this. It is not about you. It is not about your limitations. It is not about your gifting. Life is not about you. That's the first thing that Paul does when he plans on finishing well, is he wraps his mind around the fact that life is not about me. And once you have worked on revealing the greatness of God by realizing that life is not about you, then you are perfectly positioned to fulfill the second purpose in your life. life. The second thing that will cause you to finish well, and this is this, moving on to God's agenda. So this is what Paul does. It says, I do not account my life of any value or precious to myself. And then he goes on to God's agenda. He says, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. His second objective, and our second objective, our second purpose in life is simply this. I want to move on to God's agenda. And the two happen in one movement. If you move off your own agenda, you by nature move on to God's agenda. And then if you move away from God's agenda, you naturally move back onto your own agenda. So the movement is as such. I'm moving off my own agenda and onto God's agenda. And when I'm on God's agenda, you can put living for God's agenda or moving on God's agenda in a different way. It says simply, I exist to reveal the goodness of God by sharing the good news of the gospel of God's grace. Now, based on the knowledge that Paul had been called to be a light to the Gentiles, which is showed to us in Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 13, he makes plans to move on to God's agenda for his life. Now, these plans did not just result in Paul finishing well, but it also resulted in great fruit for the kingdom of God and great glory for God himself. We see how Paul obeys the call of God in Acts chapter 16. We see how he says that necessity is laid on me to go and preach the gospel. Paul says that I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. We see earlier that how extensively he traveled, having traveled 8,000 miles over 11 years through different areas in different cities with different problems in order to make Christ known at that point. We can even see how Paul manages to share the gospel with the most powerful man on earth. In the same way that Paul existed to move on to God's agenda and share the good news of the grace of God, you and I are also to reveal the goodness of God to all human beings. However, you are not Paul. I am not Paul. So your plans to accomplish the purpose and the goals may look entirely different than his. We've got to understand that. In fact, when we look at it, our plans to fulfill that very purpose may look mundane in the light of everything that Paul accomplished for God. It may look simple, it may look elementary, but believe me, that if you fulfill the thing that God has called you to, it will not be a fraction less important. It will not be a fraction less significant, and it will not be less fruit-bearing than everything that the Apostle Paul accomplished by his plans. Here are some of the things, some suggestions to help you figure out your plans for finishing well. Look around you and see who is there with you. Guys, look around and understand that your first ministry is towards your wife. Your first ministry is to lead your wife in God's goodness. Your first objective in life is to make sure that she serves Jesus with a great amount of passion. So pursue her heart. Lead her in the Word of God. Take her on dates. Be awesome and nice to your wife. That is your first ministry, and it is no less significant than leading a city to Christ. Your second objective, and this is for everyone that's parents, our objective is to raise our kids in the ways of the Lord, and that is a mission field on its own. Will you say to me, well, you know what, my kids don't listen to me at all. Well, with very few exceptions, kids older than the age of 10 listen anyway. But they learn through looking at you and how you live. So when you live your life in a godly fashion, they learn, they pick it up, and they imitate whatever you do. They see you passionately serving God, they will passionately serve God. And when you get your kids to passionately serve God, it is no less significant than standing in front of the most powerful man on earth and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Kids, your function, your mission field is to obey your parents. Because when you learn how to submit yourself under your parents' leading, you will learn what it means to lead later on in life. And that simple act of saying, yes, mom, yes, dad, when everything inside of you goes against the grain of what you just agreed to, it is no less significant than traveling 8,000 miles from city to city to say to people, God loves you. Maybe you're single, and when you consider your life, you ask yourself this question, how can I best use my singleness to benefit the kingdom of God? You are gifted in a particular area, and you work in a particular area, and that area in which you work, that is your field where you exist to make God look as good as He is. So you can fulfill your passion, the work that you want to do, with a gospel-driven purpose. And that is once again no less significant than standing in front of thousands of people and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. You have a story to tell, and your story will inspire others in a way that my story will never be able to do. And your story will reach hearts and lives that the best preacher who has ever been born can never, ever reach. And you have a story to tell of victory in progress. Yes, no one has arrived. No one is perfect. What you have is victory, and that victory is still in progress. And if you use your story to share the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel of grace, then you have fulfilled your purpose, and you are on your way to finishing well. If you are involved in the church community, you are doing what God has called you to do, and you're on your way to finishing well. And if you sweep the floors on the outside or serve the tea in the coffee hall, it is absolutely no less significant than someone playing the keyboard, leading us in worship, preaching and praying right here in the center of church. When you use your gifts to benefit the body of Christ, and when you use the skills that God has given you for the glory of God, then you are on your way to finishing well and accomplishing the purpose of moving onto God's agenda. When you act in a way that is generous towards others and generous to the church, once again, you're right there onto God's agenda. And then if you obey God by going to a foreign nation, that is absolutely where God wants you to be if He calls you to be there. But I want to challenge you. If you are called to go to India, you have no business sharing the gospel in India if you do not serve the people of India right here in the town in which you are living. Make sure that you move on to God's agenda. Not if you get there, not when you get there, right here, right now, today. Now, here is the irony. The irony is that the less we focus on ourselves and place our focus on God and on the things and the people that God desires for us to reach, the happier, the more fulfilled, the more joyous, the more content we become. The irony is that living for God and not for ourselves may very well be the most self-serving thing that you can possibly do. carrying with it the reward that each one of us so desperately desires, that of finishing well. Isn't it ironic? Think about it for a minute. If we live integrity before God and His people, won't there also be for us a crown of righteousness when we pass on? If we forsake ourselves and the fleeting pleasures of this world, won't God give us, along with salvation, also every good thing? If we choose to honor Him before all men, won't He also honor us before our Father who is in heaven? If we choose to trust in the Lord and not to lean on our own understanding, will not God make our paths straight? If we choose to love our wives, will we not express and experience the blessing of God on us? If we raise our kids in the ways of the Lord, will we not be able to look forward to mature children who fear God and honor us in return? If we make a point thereof of obeying our parents in the Lord, does not the Bible promise that it will go well with you? If you give generously to God's church, is there not a promise in Philippians chapter 4 that He will supply all your needs according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus? If we live to lead many to righteousness, will we not be, as what Daniel calls us, wise? If we plan on finishing well, and we execute that plan, will it not result in us stepping into eternity and hearing God say these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Plan on finishing well. Let us pray. Lord, thank You that You have given us a blueprint to finish well. Lord, thank You that You have indicated to us again this morning that if we are to finish well, we need to move off our own agenda and move on to Yours. Father, I pray that for each one of us here, individuals as we are, that in this coming days, as we start a new year in just a few days, that You will help us to actually work on our own individual plan for accomplishing the purpose for which You have called us and sent us. Father, we pray that You give us a spirit of wisdom. Lord, we pray that You will give us insight from Your Word and direction from the Holy Spirit as we plan on finishing our lives well. We pray this in Your almighty name. Amen.
Please stand and join us as we close with Jabulani Africa.
Life and hope to heal our land. Savior, reaching out with Your mighty hand. Sing for joy, O Africa. The Lord Your God has risen upon you. Sing for joy, O Africa. The Lord Your God has risen upon you now. Jabulani, Jabulani, Africa. Jabulani, Jabulani, Africa. Jesus, river of life to our thirsty land. Savior, meeting our needs with Your mighty hand. Sing for joy, O Africa. The Lord Your God has risen upon you. Sing for joy, O Africa. The Lord Your God has risen upon you now. Jabulani, Jabulani, Africa. Jabulani, Jabulani, Africa. Jesus, life and hope to heal our land. Savior, reaching out with your mighty hand. Sing for joy, O Africa. The Lord your God has risen upon you. Sing for joy, O Africa. The Lord your God has risen upon you now. Jabulani, Jabulani, Africa. Jabulani, Jabulani, Africa. Jesus, river of life to our thirsty land. Savior, meeting our needs with your mighty hand. Sing for joy, O Africa. The Lord your God has risen upon you. Sing for joy, O Africa. The Lord your God has risen upon you now. Jabulani, Jabulani, Africa. Jabulani, Jabulani, Africa. Jabulani, Jabulani, Africa. Jabulani, Jabulani, Africa.
Let's plan to finish well. It's not about me, it's not about you. Thank you, Pastor Henry. As we finish our journey for 2019 and beginning a new journey or continuing a new journey for 2020, I would like all of us to take a short prayer from Psalm 71, from verse 1 to verse 2. Let's pray. In you, O Lord, I've taken a refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ears to me and save me. Amen.